Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is taking us through the book of Ephesians, and coming up, we're continuing to see what our walk as a believer in Jesus should look like. We're taking an in-depth look at chapter 5, verses 14 through 21, with a message called The Believer's Walk as we go back to basics.
You've probably heard somebody say, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. You know what? That's true. God loves people and he has a plan for their lives. He loves you. He has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. And the wise person is a person who says, I want to know what that purpose is. I want to discover that purpose. I want to live in the center of that purpose. I want to do that. I want to be in the center of God's will, and to the best of my ability, I have sought to do that over the years. Many times, you know, different things would come up, and maybe some opportunities, and I would make a decision not to go in a certain direction. People say, well, why didn't you do that? Well, I want to be in the center of God's will, and although that looked good and exciting, and it was even desirable, at the end of the day, I just didn't really see that as what God had. It wasn't God's will. So know this, God has a will. He has a plan for you. And if you're walking in wisdom, if you're living like a wise person, you're going to be seeking to discover that, to understand that, and to walk in that. So we're to walk in wisdom. Secondly, we are to walk, he said, in the power of the Spirit. But be filled with the Spirit, he said. But notice in verse 18, before that, he said, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, it's obvious that Paul is making some kind of connection between these two things. Why would the apostle connect drunkenness and being filled with the Spirit? What is the connection? Well, I think the connection here is really that in both cases, we are coming under an outside influence. And what Paul is saying is don't come under the influence of the destructive power of alcohol. Rather, come under the influence of the constructive power of the Holy Spirit. See, do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, he says. And the word dissipation, there's one Greek word that's translated dissipation here in the NIV, in the ESV, it's translated debauchery. In the HCSB, the translation there is a reckless life. And then we read the NLT today, and the NLT translates it a ruined life. So the idea is that if you come under the influence and the power of either one of these things, one of them is going to destroy you, the other one is going to bless you and build you up. So obviously, don't come under the influence of the destructive force. Do not be drunk with wine. How many millions of lives have been destroyed through the abuse of alcohol? But going back to our crazy culture, isn't it so nutty? You know, this TV program, Breaking Bad, you know, about the crystal meth dealers and all of that stuff. You heard about the controversy where they made these Breaking Bad dolls and they put them in Toys R Us. And, you know, there's these guys in the program and they're basically manufacturers and drug deals, and now they got little Breaking Bad dolls. And so some mom goes into Toys R Us and she sees that and says, you know, I don't think that's a good idea. So she complains, and you know, some people voiced their concern about it, and Toys R Us ended up pulling it out. I was reading an article yesterday where the actor, he's so offended, you know, that Toys R Us would pull his doll out of their store. You know, I'm thinking, really? Are you kidding? I mean, you know, you need a doll of yourself in a toy store? Is that where you're finding your identity and your fulfillment? You know, craziness. But the destructive nature of these things, and you know, we glorify them. But like I said, how many millions of lives have been destroyed through the abuse of alcohol? How many murders were committed under the influence of alcohol? I guarantee lots. Lots and lots. Many cases of manslaughter, adultery, rape, violence, domestic violence, poverty, loss of health, premature death, disease. These things are connected to excessive uses of alcohol, abusing alcohol. Paul says, do not be drunk. That's an abuse. That's an excess. He doesn't say, do not have a drink. He says, do not be drunk. So we must be very, very wise and very careful there. I've oftentimes quoted from Martin Lloyd-Jones. Martin Lloyd-Jones was not only a great preacher and a pastor, but he was also a physician prior to going into the ministry. And in his commentary on Ephesians, the fifth chapter, he wrote this in regard to this text here and the comparison between alcohol and the spirit. Let me read to you what he says. He said, wine, alcohol, pharmacologically speaking, is not a stimulant. It is a depressant. It depresses first and foremost the highest centers in the brain, the centers that control everything that gives a man self-control, wisdom, understanding, discrimination, judgment, balance, the power to assess everything. In other words, everything that makes a man behave at his very best and highest, these are the things that alcohol suppresses. And you know, it's true. It's so true. I think of the things that I did under the influence of alcohol as a young person that I never would have done had I not been under that influence. I've, you know, had seen things my friends did. I've heard stories about the things that people have done. Your judgment is affected, and you do foolish things. You do things that you would never normally do, things that you could regret for the rest of your life. But in contrast to that, Lloyd-Jones goes on to say, what the Holy Spirit does, however, is the exact opposite. If it were possible to put the Holy Spirit into a textbook of pharmacology, I would put him under the stimulants, for that is where he belongs. He really does stimulate. He stimulates our every faculty, the mind and the intellect, the heart and the will. So you see, Paul says, in these days, as God's people, don't be putting yourself under the influence of these destructive forces. No, put yourself under the influence of the Spirit. And why do people put themselves under the influence of these destructive forces? Well, they think that, well, this is going to help me somehow. I was just back east. And last week, I was with two of my friends came to New York City. One lives in New Jersey, one lives in Florida. And they came, we had a ministry meeting together in New York. And as we got together and we were kind of planning our day, suddenly, you know, one of my friends gets a call and, you know, somebody in his church has gone on a drinking binge and the marriage is all now jeopardized and there's a new baby. And, you know, it's a horrible situation. So our day was, you know, kind of ruined. We didn't get to do the things that we wanted to do. We had to get in his car, go back and deal with this. But he's telling me about this person, a young guy, 32 years old or whatever. And he just goes into this state where in order to handle stuff, whenever he's got pressure and he's got some things going on, is I think in his case, you know, his mother's terminally ill. And instead of turning to the Lord for the comfort and the strength and everything he needs, he just turns to a bottle And he goes into a dark room and he gets a bottle of hard liquor and he downs it and he just gets completely drunk out of his mind. And then he'll get in a car and go drive somewhere. He doesn't even know, you know, where he went or how he got there, things like that. And, you know, you hear stories like that and you think, oh, how tragic. A few years ago, my sister's stepson, at a very young age, in his late 20s, died of alcohol-related disease. Just because in his struggles, you know, he would go to the bottle. Paul says, go to the Lord. Go to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the one. He's going to give you the real comfort. The, you know, comfort. I was saying this last service, but, you know, there's the whiskey called Southern Comfort. And I was called, last service I was talking about, I was calling it Sweet Comfort. That was a band back in the back in the 60s and 70s here at Calvary Chapel, Sweet Comfort. But you know, you think, I mean, that's, you know, so here's this whiskey and it's Southern Comfort. I mean, come on, comfort? You need comfort from this? No, there's no comfort in a bottle. But the Holy Spirit is the comforter. That's what he does. So Paul is saying, don't be drunk, but rather be filled. And the idea here is be filled continually. It's literally be being filled with the Spirit. We're going to come back to that in a moment. But then he goes on and he says two more things. We are to walk in thankfulness, and then we are to walk in submission to one another. Walking in thankfulness. We have so much to be thankful for. And you know, for me personally, before I became a Christian, I didn't really think in terms of being thankful about anything. I mostly complained about everything and felt like I didn't have enough or what I deserved or whatever. And but you know, when I became a Christian, I realized, wow, I have got so much to be thankful for. Because not only just in a general sense has God blessed me and taken care of me, but then I start to realize, wow, these things that I would never necessarily think of in the context of God's goodness, the reality is I experience these things because God created it to be so. You know, every plate of food you sit down and eat, you got to thank God for it. Because had he not made it, or the ingredients for it at least, you would not enjoy it, would you? So when we sit down and we give thanks for our meal, one of the things we're doing is we're just expressing to God, thank you, Lord, for your kindness. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your goodness. In some ways, it's a little bit tragic that we live in a society where we're not even conscious sometimes of the process that our food goes through in order to become our food. You know, I guarantee there are kids that grow up in cities who go to liquor stores and grocery stores. They've never been, you know, to a farm. They've never been to a ranch. They've never been out in the country. They've never seen a field. They, you know, I guarantee there are kids out there that have no idea that this stuff that they go to the market and pick up, that it actually comes from a farm. It comes from a field. Because God created the seeds and he created the seasons and the rain and the soil, you know, all of those things. So, again, we have so many things to be thankful for. God has been so good to us. Paul says, walk in thanksgiving. And, you know, sometimes it's in these smaller, seemingly smaller things that the real difference is shown. When you find a person who's just a thankful person, wow, that's impressive. They're few and far between. So to find someone that's just thankful, that there's something about that. People want to know about that. People are intrigued by that. Just an attitude of thankfulness can itself be an effective tool in creating an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ with somebody. But then he also says, walk in submission to one another. And the picture here is that of an attitude of yieldedness toward one another. You know, that we're yielding to one another, that we're giving place to one another, that we're preferring one another would be another way to look at it. You know, when you pull up at a four-way stop, what do? You yield. You yield to the person on your right. You give them, they have the right of way. You let them go. And so in life, as we go through life, it's easy to get into the trap of me first. Hey, I was there. That's my place. No, you yield. I'm not going to yield. But the spirit of God's people is to be this spirit of mutual submission, which is this yieldedness where we're just, you know, preferring each other. Now, as you know, and as I said, I was just in New York City. They don't know much about yielding in New York City. It's a very non-yielding culture. And I have to confess that I found myself sort of just getting sucked up into the culture. And, you know, people honking at you and people shaking their fist at you. And in there, they just come right out and, you know, say things to you as well. And, you know, there, for a couple of occasions, I'm walking across the street and I find myself, yeah, I'll tell you something, you know. And I thought, wait a second, you know, I'm just visiting here. I don't need to take on the New York personality. But as God's people, there should be, and you know, another way to understand it would just be a graciousness about us. Walking in graciousness. Preferring others. And like I said, sometimes it's these small things, you know, you're in the market, you give some place a person preference in line. You know, you're both coming up and then you just step back and say, no, you go ahead. No, are you sure? Yeah, go ahead. Really? Yeah, no, it's fine. Oh, thank you so much. If we did that kind of thing more often, those are the little things that can turn into bigger things and turn into great things potentially. Give us opportunities that we might not otherwise have. But as we now go back for a moment to the filling with the Spirit, here's the thing. If we are continually seeking to be filled with the Spirit, everything else will take care of itself. So that's what I want to emphasize as we close. It's the emphasis on being filled, as Paul says, be being filled with the Spirit. Because if I'm filled with the Spirit, then of course I'm going to be walking in wisdom. I'm not going to be living foolishly if I'm under the influence and the control of the Spirit. If I'm under the influence of the Spirit, I'm going to have those fruits of the Spirit manifesting in my life. If I'm under the influence of the Spirit, I am going to be thankful. I am going to be yielded. I am going to be gracious. So, what does he mean? Be filled with the Spirit. Be being filled, continually filled. How does that happen? Well, Paul tells us here, he says, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music in your heart to the Lord. Now, the question is Paul talking about the outcome of being filled with the Spirit, or is he talking about the means to attaining the filling in the Spirit? I actually think he's referring to both. So how am I filled with the Spirit continually? Because he tells us to do that. So it's something that we seemingly have the ability to help in that process of that happening to us. What does that look like? Well, here's the thing. As we speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, as we communicate with one another the things of the Spirit, the things that God's doing in our lives, the things that God's speaking to us, the things that God's showing us, as we do that, that contributes to being filled with the Spirit. You know, I was talking to my son, and I were out the other day having coffee, and we were talking about just conversation about spiritual things. And he was telling me, he said, you know, I love to talk, you know, when we talk about God loving us, I don't want to just stop with, yeah, I know God loves me. I want to talk about all of the implications of that, or all of the evidences for that. You know, God loves us, but let's see, how does he love us? How did he demonstrate his love to us? And what does that mean for me personally? And as we were talking, and as he was sharing that with me, and as I was listening to what he was saying, I think, you know, that's really what Paul's talking about here, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. We're communicating back and forth with one another the things of the Spirit, and as a result, we are then being filled with the Spirit. But then there's the singing and the making music in your heart to the Lord. You know, as you just praise the Lord on your own, by yourself, in your car, on the job, under your breath, or walking down a street, or whatever you're doing, and notice, singing in your heart to the Lord. There's just something going on between you and the Lord. Isn't it amazing that we can do that? That we can just sing to the Lord. We can just, we don't have to be in any particular location. We can just simply, you know, Lord, I'm gonna bless you. I'm gonna thank you. I'm gonna sing to you. And, you know, one of those praise songs that we know that we have etched in our minds, we just take that and intentionally direct it toward the Lord. And as we do things like that, these are the things that lend to being filled with the Spirit. So I would say this, make sure you give yourself over frequently to spiritual things. That's how we're going to continue to be filled with the Spirit. Giving ourselves over frequently to times of prayer. You know, as you spend time in prayer, this is a time where you're being filled with the Spirit. Give yourself frequently to times of prayer. Stop and pray. Take opportunities to pray with other believers, people that you know. And as you do that, realize that this is what Paul's talking about, being filled with the Spirit. Give yourself frequently to times of meditation on God's word. And frequently is the key word here. You know, if we're just occasionally getting time to meditate on God's word, we're not going to maintain that fullness that the apostle is talking about here. We need to do this frequently. We need to do this often. And of course, in saying that, that might mean that we're going to have to adjust some priorities. But remember, if we're redeeming the time, then that shouldn't be an issue, because we're going to realize, you know, a lot of the things we're doing are just a waste of time. I don't need to do this. Instead, how do I redeem the time? Well, instead of doing this thing that's, you know, absolutely unprofitable spiritually in any way, shape, or form, or maybe in other ways as well, instead of doing this, I'm going to give time to the meditation on the word. I'm going to seek to know it better and to understand it more clearly and to have it more a part of my life. Giving ourselves frequently to worship and service to Jesus. As we do the things that we do in the area of service, that we're really doing them as unto the Lord, then you'll walk in wisdom. Then you'll walk in the power of the Spirit. Then you will walk in thankfulness. Then you will walk in love. Let's be filled with the Spirit. And as we're filled with the Spirit, the possibilities are limitless. All that God will do in us and all that He will do through us.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more spiritual insights from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called The Believer's Walk, and the resource number is BBE0032. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you. And you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.